Monday, June 21st, 2021. And it's me, Kathy Holgarty, Verna, Councilmember Seal, and Councilmember McLeod. Welcome. I see Brandon Miles, who's the first one to present. And item number 1A is an application for lodging tax funds, City of Tukwila for Parks and Recreation, Phase 2 art installation. Take it away, Brandon.
Thank you. For the record, Brandon Miles, economic development and lodging tax staff person. I have a glow around me today, just so everyone knows that that's just who I am naturally. No, the sun comes through at 5:30 through my basement window right at this time, so I apologize. Hey, so what you have before you tonight is a lodging tax funding request from the City of Tukwila Parks and Recreation Department in the amount of $75,000 to install additional arts along our Baker Boulevard to Sounder connection. So this is the area from the mall extending along Baker Boulevard, Christensen Trail, and then when you get to South Center Pedestrian Bridge and extending all the way over to the commuter rail station. If you've been out to Baker Boulevard since the last summer, you would have seen a lot of art that was installed as part of our Phase 1 project, pretty much between the two Andover Park West and Andover Park East. This now extends our art installations from Christensen Road to the South Center Pedestrian Bridge. So this is just kind of extending that network of arts that people will see as they come in the area. We're using 100% lodging tax funds with a little bit probably coming from the 1% for arts. But this is really, you know, Baker Boulevard was identified as our festival street and as a place that we want to do activities in the future. We have done one 5K run in this area, actually two 5K runs. We're going to do another 5K with the Sounders, and our start point will be right there where you see that big ground mural. So that's going to be a fun thing that people will see when they come in to do their 5K. So staff, as well as the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee, recommends approval of this funding request. And we ask that it go to the next consent agenda for final action by the council.
All right. I'll start with Councilmember Verna Seal.
Okay. Thank you. I think this is great. I think it looks great over there, and I don't have any issues with it, and I'm in favor of it going to consent agenda. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Thomas McLeod.
Brandon, how much was spent in Phase 1?
Phase 1 was just under about $39,500, just under $40,000.
Okay, and the LTAC members or the board, it's made up of some of the businesses around the area. That's correct, and they were all in favor of it.
Yes, and one thing I failed and I forgot to mention, it's in the staff report. Last year when we did our six-year financial model, we allocated $75,000 in 2021 to be used for art along South Central Boulevard. So this is something, it is consistent with our financial model that we prepared last year.
Okay, I do not have any further questions, and I would be in favor of this going to the consent agenda.
All right, thank you. And I also have no questions. It looks good. So we have three people, entire committee, that are in consensus to take it to the consent agenda. And so then we'll move on to item B, which is the, item B, I switched too many pages. It's update on tourism.
So thank you, Councilor Member. I'm going to handle this one. So this is just, we wanted to check in with you and give you a quick update, you know, halfway through the year, and give you an update on some tourism things that we are working on, both past and present. There is no action required tonight. This is a briefing. Would like any questions you might have. We do want to come back to the council at a later date and give a more in-depth briefing. But I thought this would be a good chance for us to touch base on some lodging tax and some tourism related stuff. So I am going to share my screen. Does everyone see a thing that says tourism update on the screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So again, tonight is no action. But what we want to do is kind of just, you know, last year was the worst year for travel, probably in any of our history. You know, we saw a dramatic reduction in people visiting the city, both overnight guests and day guests, as a result of the pandemic. The photo you see to your left is a photo of the TSA line at SeaTac Airport. And the impact to our economy was we saw several, you've been briefed on the pullback in sales tax, admissions tax, and parking tax. Lodging tax took a dramatic hit. In 2019, we did about $800,000 in lodging tax. So that equates to about $80 million of lodging sales at our hotels. And in 2020, we did just under $300,000, which means we were at about $29 million in lodging sales going from 2019 to 2020 as a result of the pandemic. This is the worst hit that we've seen. This is worse than 9/11, and it was worse than the Great Recession with regards to the impact to our tourist economy. And when I say a tourist, I mean an overnight guest as well as someone who comes in just for the day. We take a very broad look since we're very dependent upon those day guests that come to go shopping, to dine, and to go to our movies. And we had some casualties as a result of the pandemic. Virtual sports closed. We had several restaurants that also closed as a result of the pandemic. But I want to kind of transition. I think we've all heard this, that bad news related to the pandemic and how it impacted our economy as well as other economies. But there are some good news that we're starting to see. People are traveling again. A recent report showed that 50% of American travelers agree that they will that they believe the pandemic's over. And additionally, there's an increase in both the openness to travel and the inspiration to travel, with more people wanting to start traveling again. So we're also seeing people flying again. Air travel continues to surge across the entire country. Twice in the last week, TSA screened more than 2 million passengers in a single day. This is not at SeaTac. This is nationwide. And on Sunday, June 13th, SeaTac Airport saw its highest peak since Memorial Day weekend, with just under 40,000 people going through TSA. So people are starting to travel again. That same period, June 6th to the 12th, SeaTac and Tukwila Hotels, as well as Bellevue Hotels, continue to see an increase in occupancy that we've started to see since Memorial Day weekend. In fact, the SeaTac and Tukwila Hotels and the Bellevue Hotels actually were doing better with occupancy than the downtown hotels. So it's great to see people are starting to come back. The other thing that we're seeing is that more people are starting to stay during the midweek, which is something that we were not seeing in the previous months. We were still seeing people staying on the weekends, but we had a lot of occupancy during the midweek. Now, I do want to go back to those TSA numbers. While I said that 38,000 people went through in June, one day this year in June, keep in mind that that's still down 38% as to where we were the same period in June of 2019. So the other thing we're going to start seeing is cruises are going to come back. The Port of Seattle, and there's was a change in federal law to allow cruise ships to continue to start operating. So we're going to see them coming back, and that those do we do see a significant number of people who stay in SeaTac and Tukwila hotels who go on the Alaska cruises. And another area of interest is that the convention center is not bleeding as much as it was. The last report said that they actually had they haven't had a cancellation in the current reporting period, which is a good thing to be at. So for Tukwila, some other things that happened in 2019 and 2020 that I think are good signs. Spice Bridge opens, and I think everyone knows about that. We have two new hotels that open, True by Hilton and Element by Westin. Pier 88 is going into the old Stanford's building. The Seattle Seahorse resumed play. U.S. Rugby announced just last week that Tuckwiller will host the 2021 National Sevens Championships, which will be on the Councillor's consent agenda tonight for the final funding request. And we've begun having discussions about a large soccer tournament to come to the city in 2022. I want to remind the Councillor or the committee that in 2020 we did a significant amount of work on defining some priorities for how we would allocate our tourism funds. As a reminder, we have both the TPA fund and the lodging tax. And so the council adopted a motion that set guidelines for how those funds would be used. The first is the TPA revenues continue to go to Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority, and that is continuing to happen in 2021. We also adopted that lodging tax funds would be used primarily for marketing efforts to attract visitors under other brands, such as Seattle or Kent Valley WA. That we would use those funds to market to attract day visitors from the greater Seattle region, and that we would work on destination development. And then finally, that the city should control how it brands, how it's branded within the region. Related to those guidelines was also the creation of a six-year financial plan, which we will update on a yearly basis. Many cities, including Tukwila in the past, look at lodging tax funds kind of like if we have the funds available and someone requests it, we'll consider that request in isolation from other initiatives. We changed that process, and now we look at things from a much more strategic focus. What are things that we might want to invest in 2 or 3 or 5 years that could help us build our tourism economy? One example that we want to keep funds set aside for is we're hopeful that the World Cup, some of those matches in 2026 will be in Seattle, and that we could use those funds to help really put on a great event or showcase Tukwila as those travelers come from throughout the world to go to the World Cup. We also allocated funds for investing in the destination. So that includes the South Center Art, a master plan for Tukwila Pond, doing a master sign plan for in the South Center area, and then using the funds to market aggressively Tukwila within the region. And then finally, we wanted to increase access to those lodging tax funds. So an example are the Juneteenth event and Spice Bridge. Spice Bridge actually received a small $5,000 grant that the council approved several months ago. So I want to give you now a quick update on the Experience Tukwila Digital Initiative. This launched about a year ago, and it's been a rolling launch. Last spring, we launched Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then in the fall, we launched our LinkedIn account, and then in early 2021, we launched our website. And so I want to give you kind of a quick preview of how things are going with that. So this talks real fast about where we were as of yesterday, the close of business yesterday. So this chart shows Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And the impressions and the engagement that we have had over since we launched in the spring of last year. As you can see on the right-hand side, we have just over 1 million impressions from our social media, and about 9,500 people have engaged. And the engagement is a like, it's a comment, it's a share, it's some type of, or it's clicking on a link that we might provide in that social media. This is an example of our most popular non-paid social media that we did this year. So what I mean by that is when you post something, you can boost it by putting a few ad dollars behind it. This one was, we didn't put any ad dollars behind it, and we ended up having 7 people comment and 108 shares for us on Mario Day to remind people that Mario got his name in Tukwila. We did this with the permission of the Sigali family, and it was great to see that we're starting to really own this this message and this event, that's something that's specific to Tukwila. A couple of radios picked up on this and also shared the information, so that was nice to see that we were getting some recognition in the area. This was an example of a paid social media that we did promoting Spice Bridge. We ended up having just under 12,000 people who impressions on that story. I think I got a little bit. And then this is an example of us promoting, using LinkedIn to promote some of the stuff that's happening in Tukwila South, now known as the Prato District. So LinkedIn is a different tool in the sense that while Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram were really going after the consumer, On Twitter, we have a much more, or excuse me, on LinkedIn, we have a much more narrow focus, and we're really going after businesses, people who work in the area, investors, so that they know that Tukwila is a great place to do business in. And then, of course, this January, we launched the Experience Tukwila website, which is a Tukwila-focused website to really promote all the great things happening in the community. We have it divided up into events, dining, hotels, shopping, and activities. This gives us a place where we can have events live. So, like when we did the when we do the 5K, we'll put that on this webpage. We'll also use this to promote third-party events that are consistent with our brand. We update this on a monthly basis, so if a restaurant closes or a new restaurant comes in, we add it to the list. And we're going to also, you know, these images you see, this is one of the of a three rotating image of the city that we use. We're going to update this on a quarterly basis, and this will be updated to kind of reflect our summer months. We also still have people on the website who have masks on. As we move away from having to wear masks, we want to get those off and show people not wearing masks anymore. A great example of the benefit of having Experience Tukwila website is the fact that we can create events and activities that we can live on the webpage to draw traffic. And so the Juneteenth event, we put it on the Experience Tukwila page. And one of our main reasons of doing that is we want people, when they come to the website, that they can also learn other things about the city. You know, we include a link on the city's main webpage, but we want people really to come to the Experience Tukwila page so that they can learn more about the city of Tukwila, about things going on. Now, what I'm showing up to the left are our KPIs for the ExperienceTukwila.com website. So far, since we launched, we've had 2,200 visitors. These are some key metrics that you'll see as we move forward. Number of page views is just under 5,000. The minutes on the site is just under 2 minutes. And total page visited is about 2.23. And our bounce rate, that means someone just looks at one page and then leaves the website immediately, is hovering at just under 66%. Those are actually not bad numbers. I would like to see the time on the website a little bit higher, but it is still a new website that we're getting up and running. We put the Juneteenth on the Experience Tukwila site on September, and so far we've had 268 people who viewed it, and then the time on the website was 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So those are really good numbers to see, and we're running some paid social media to promote the Juneteenth event and those virtual videos, and people can view it. It's going to live on the website, and people can go to the website and continue to learn about it. So these numbers for Juneteenth are only through yesterday, since it's still an ongoing promotion. Some things that we've done too is we sponsored some events. So we sponsored the Seattle Restaurant Week to really kind of promote Tukwila restaurants that were participating. That helped drive some traffic to our website. We do want to they're going to do another restaurant week in the fall, and we want to sponsor that one as well. We did a campaign with the Seattle Seawolves to promote the city, and that's an ongoing campaign. This was their Meet the 2020 Seawolves that we sponsored, and it was a digital campaign that again drew people to our social media accounts. So what do we have coming up? So first, next week, and we are the name sponsor for the Seattle Seawolves Pride Game. So you should be seeing some more content related to that through this week. We want to continue expanding our relationship with the Seawolves. The Seawolves have a great brand. They're great to work with. They really help. They're consistent with our values of inclusiveness, of being a sport that's for everyone. And so we want to continue working with them on that. We want to start planning for the 2020 Juneteenth event in collaboration with communications and the community. That would be an in-person event. It seems like it's a year off, but we need to start doing the planning for that now. We want to look at additional sponsorships. And then the big thing that we're going to have this year is, or this summer, is we want to start building out unique, authentic content for Experience Tukwila, both our website as well as our social media. We saw with the Juneteenth event, when it's great content that people like, and that's the kind of stuff that we really want to start putting on our website and our social media, because it really shows off Tukwila. So that's in our budget. that has already been approved by the council for this year, the lodging tax budget, and we're going to continue working on that and get our community engaged as we build out that content. I know I kind of went fast. I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee might have, but I thank you for your time on this program.
Thank you, Brandon. Let's start with and see. And I have a little bit of, if people make sure they've got their mics off. Great. All right, Tom, comments. Questions?
I don't have any comments or questions, really. I would just say thank you, Brandon, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Councilmember Verna Seal.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness, Brandon. This, I love seeing this. I love looking at the analytics of all the, you know, how many hits on Instagram. You know, it's really funny. I find myself on Instagram more than any other platform right now. And I see things pop up all the time, and also on LinkedIn. And actually, I've learned things that I was like, oh, you know. So I think it's great. I love the direction you're moving in. I think this is a perfect use of our dollars, our LTAC dollars. I like the partnership with the Seawolves. Just keep it up. It's great. Thanks.
All right, and thank you for the presentation. Good to see the update, and things are looking up. So any other questions? This is information only. Okay, let's thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
And we are on to our next item, which is the American Rescue Plan Act, otherwise known as ARPA, Small Business Support. Here's some information about potential ways that we could allocate ARPA funds, or just good to know that these particular programs exist, and maybe we don't, and some we could fund or some we could just take advantage of. So Derek, if you would proceed, thank you very much.
You bet. Before I start, I would like, just on the last item, to give a shout out to Brandon. You know, I remember in business school realizing that all the major companies have jobs that they call brand manager. So like Kraft has, for every big brand, there's one person that's overseeing that brand from start to finish to make sure that everything that company does around that brand is consistent, so that the consumer, the customer understands it, it makes sense. And that's really a role that Brandon plays for the city of Tukwila when it comes, like all the stuff you just heard. He's the one that's making sure the messaging makes sense, it's consistent. One thing that differentiates the work that he's doing compared to what you might see other cities do is, in other cities, you'll see them just think more information out there is always better. And so what Brandon will do is really focus to make sure it's really something that builds the brand we're trying to build, not just more is better. So just wanted to give a shout out there. Okay, so on this item, as you may remember, you know, the city is going to be receiving over $4 million from the federal government from the ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act, and Vicki, our finance director, is really shepherding that through the city council process. So there was some items have already been brought forward through committee and council. I think there was an item at the finance committee a week ago on use of ARPA funds. So this item before you is really sort of just like a little subset of that. So this is about, if you have questions about how could the city use ARPA funds for small business support. And one of the questions that popped up recently, which is what really brought this to your agenda now, is I think Councilmember Hogarty had asked, oh, well, should we be doing something with revolving loan funds? Some of our surrounding cities are talking about revolving loan funds. So because the chair of the committee was asking that question, I thought, let's just bring the staff report forward to give you some context as you're thinking about all potential uses of funds. And so tonight, there's no recommendation of action that we're asking you to make tonight. There's a recommendation for your consideration as the council in the future, but there's no requested action tonight whatsoever. This is really just a briefing for you to answer and to ask any questions. So I'll give a really quick overview. Basically, in your staff report, starting on page 15 there, the background section is really just there to give you a sense of the federal dollars that have been rolling out since the pandemic started to help small businesses. I'm not going to describe each of those programs, but basically, the federal government has rolled out over $1 trillion in loans and grants to small businesses across the United States. Some are fairly large small businesses, but that's a lot of money. And so I think as the council decides what to do, keeping in mind there have been a lot of loan programs that are out there and some are still out there. Going to page 2 of the memo there, there's more money coming. So there's a program called the State Small Business Credit Initiative. That's like the first bullet on page 16. And so that's going to be rolling out with to the states for more revolving loan funds. And so we haven't seen how the state of Washington's going to roll that out specifically, but that is coming. And one of the things that's changed a lot from when ARPA, well, when the pandemic started, is we had the national election. So without getting political, but as the government changed, there has been more focus on money for minority businesses, underserved businesses. And the reason I mention that is if you look at what these grant programs and loan programs in this calendar year, 2021, there's been a lot more focus on smaller businesses and more diverse businesses. And I think that's going to continue. So I think you'll see some of these federal programs, like the one I'm mentioning, the State Small Business Credit Initiative, there's a lot of focus on that. And I think that's important, obviously, for Tukwila. I think we're going to see our businesses will have a little bit of a better shot at some of these funds. I will mention the last bullet there, the federal program, the Community Navigator pilot program. So basically, the U.S. Small Business Administration has lots of programs all the time to help small businesses. But they're realizing that these really small businesses are very busy. They have language barriers. They may not be aware of these programs. And so they are, this SBA is launching a new program to help get navigators out in the community to help these small businesses. And we are tracking it. We're trying to find out, is there anybody that's going to be applying for this in our region so that our Tukwila businesses could apply for it? I've been in multiple meetings with the Greater Seattle Chamber, with representatives from the state, with representatives from all the local economic development groups around the Greater Seattle Partners. And right now, I have not heard of any entity in the Puget Sound that's going to do an application for this. The state is going to do an application, and the application deadline has extended to late July now. But even if somebody does apply, and you'll see when we get down to the discussion, I do think that even if somebody does cover our area, there still is a need for people or organizations that are right in Tukwila, that know people locally, that speak the different languages locally, to help get them connected to these other programs. And so you'll see that in the recommendation at the end. I think no matter what we need, if we were to do something, we would set aside some money to help our very small businesses, especially non-English speaking ones, learn about what's available and be able to connect and have some help applying for things. I know Councilmember McLeod has helped a number of businesses with a lot of taxes this last year and can probably speak to how complicated some of these programs are and some of the reporting is. And that's why these navigators can be helpful. So there's some more money coming out from the state. That's just one little paragraph there. In terms of what the city of Tukwila could use the ARPA funds for small business, you'll see a paragraph there describing it, but it's basically loans, grants. I would say if we want to do loans or grants, I would recommend we partner with whoever else is doing it because of so much paperwork to do that. And there is going to be, and Councilmember Hogarty might be able to mention, speak to this, but the Soundside Alliance that she chairs is going to be talking about what the other cities are doing at a meeting next week. And so I think there's going to be a discussion about revolving loan funds at that meeting next week. So we can see what the Soundside Alliance is thinking of doing. And the last paragraph there under the background, I just put one sentence about cities can also use lost revenue for general government services. But I just want the committee to understand that I understand that the council is under a lot of pressure because you've got very hard choices to make. And you'll be hearing other cities in our region rolling out potentially sizable loan and grant programs or putting money into other loan and grant programs because some cities have not had the financial decline due to the pandemic that we did. I mean, there are some cities that had almost no financial decline due to the pandemic. It really depends on what that city's economy is based on. And so, but because they are getting ARPA funds also, you know, they're not able to use it for what we call lost revenue. And so they may really have to plug it into resident support or small business support. So that's why you may hear other cities talk about large numbers. Obviously, we're happy to implement whatever size you would like us to implement. So under discussion, basically, there are loan programs out there. I think obviously grants are much preferred by small businesses than loans because they don't, you know, if you're financially challenged, being able to pay back a loan, you're just kind of kicking the can down the road. So you have to make an estimated, educated guess as to whether things will get better for your small business. I already mentioned the importance of navigators. There's a paragraph there that describes that in a little bit more detail about navigators and why we might want to set some money aside. I mentioned something about other potential uses. Brandon is our lead for doing he's using the port grant money this year to help some small businesses get digital presence, but that's going to be very small. That might just be a dozen businesses. And it might be we discover through that process that there might be need for more of that. So we could do something like that to help businesses grow. And so there's a little paragraph in there about that. And so in the end, you'll see we're saying basically because there's a lot of things happening right now to see who's going to apply for that Navigator grant, what other cities want to do, do they want to partner, do they want to put their money together. What I'm recommending is we don't actually decide now other than set aside some money for a few months, let the dust settle a little bit so we can be more strategic about where we put our money. And the number I'm recommending is $200,000. But of course, you know, and that's really it. And so really happy to answer any questions that you would have.
All right, we'll start with Verna.
I don't really have any questions but I do agree with you to kind of set aside some money and kind of wait and see what, you know, when the dust settles, because there is a lot of stuff going on right now. There's, you know, you've got the state. We don't know how what the state is going to do. There's all this unknown, but I do appreciate all this information because I think it's really helpful for us to kind of be aware of what's going on. I really like the Community Navigator program. I think it's a good idea to partner with somebody else, but I like that. But again, I don't have any questions. I like this because it gives me a good overview because I know there's all these different things out there, but I haven't seen them all put together like this. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Verna. Tom?
I do have some thoughts. On your paragraph about the background, are there any limitations on how we use the funds, or we're free to use them however we want?
There are limitations. Are you talking specifically just about small business assistance, or you mean in general?
The 4.4 that we get, how restricted or limited are we to use that?
Yeah, so there are restrictions on the 4.4 million, and Vicki has a memo in the June 14th council packet that has a nice summary of what those categories are, but I'll give you a quick little thing right now. The first thing you would look at is how much of that $4.4 million qualifies as what the federal government calls lost revenue? How much of that 4.4 is what we really lost in 2020 compared to, say, 2019? And there's a formula that they have to do to figure that out. The lost revenue you can use for general government services, and that's overall pretty flexible. So it's sort of like most of the things that the city would normally have spent its money on last year, you could spend money on that type of a thing. So because we lost that revenue, there's some exceptions, like you can't use it to pay down debt, you can't make a reserve fund, things like that. So you could use it to spend on lots of just general government services. The next thing, though, whatever's not lost revenue beyond that, if you don't have any lost revenue, then there's specific things that you can spend it on as a government. And in the ARPA Act, a whole bunch of stuff's in there described, things like broadband, water infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, residents, services to help residents that had financial impacts from the pandemic. So like rent subsidies. And then that's where small business support is one of those sort of subsets.
Okay. So as I think about this, and you've listed all these different opportunities that have been available during the pandemic, from PPP loans to some sort of state and sponsored programs, I'm not always sure that a business uses the money for what it's intended for. I know a business that got PPP loans that didn't really need them, but got them because they could, invested the money, and they figured they could get more on investment than the 3.5% that the PPP or the EIDL loan charged them.
Right.
Or if a business was behind like a year in rent and they apply for rent relief and we can give them 2 or 3 months of rent relief, that really doesn't solve their problem. It just gives them a little bit more cash flow. So I say that to say I would like us to do something with the money that would help everyone or potentially help everyone. So, for instance, you know, maybe it's how the small businesses in Tukwila navigate our digital system, be it the permit processing, even our city website. I have heard from people that would love to see the city website in more than one language.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to maybe throw the idea out that maybe we could use it on some of our own infrastructure that could eliminate language barriers. I like the idea of a navigator program that could give them assistance through the to help them through the system. But a website in multiple languages, permit processing, or bridging the digital divide. I think there's some areas there we could really help some businesses that could go for these other programs that are already in place, some of them still, and rather than say of our 4.4, we're going to give this much to small business, why don't we take that opportunity, because it's going to cost a little bit, to enhance our own infrastructure that allows them to navigate the system. And I would like to make that recommendation as a way to utilize some of the funds. So I don't think that's going to be cheap. Like, I think if I went to the, I think it's SeaTac's website, City of SeaTac, I can pick the language I wanted to display in. And I thought that was a pretty cool feature. And I know last year I did a series of Cabana conversations, and I know that came up. If you really want to get people involved, then put your agenda packets in another language or your city website in another language. So to the business community, what can we do with some of that money that will help to eliminate language barriers?
Yeah, and I, you know, something that you, your recommendation, your thoughts really got me thinking about is when you mentioned the permit center and the navigators. And so it got me thinking, you know, maybe something that would work with this is if we had some partners, some community navigators, we had contracts with some of these businesses or nonprofits that speak the languages, have contacts, and maybe we would put together some short little informational programs of some sort, meetings, one-on-one outreach to the businesses depending on for the permits. So for instance, if there's questions about, so that we have information in those languages so that businesses can understand the permit process better as an example. Is that the kind of thing you're, now I know you're talking about the whole website, but I was just trying to ask about that one particular type of activity.
Yeah, somebody that could kind of hold their hand through the process so they could be part of the system. That would be one. But then two, I think we could do a better job of putting stuff out in our in the languages of the people that operate here in Tukwila.
Yeah, and I probably won't. I'm not going to speak much to the whole city website and that because that's not really within the economic development.
That's okay. Rachel hears me.
Well, and Rachel has her hand up because she wanted to point out that you can click a button on our website and it's translated into many, many, many languages. So
it
if
is?
You click, yes, if you click the translate button at the top right of the website, I was just looking, you can get Macedonian, Malay, Pashto, Spanish, etc. So just want to make sure the council members were aware of that.
Oh, yeah, I was not, so thank you for that. But there still are some language barriers, so I would leave that comment in play. Maybe identifying those and bridging them as well as the digital divide that I think hinders some businesses. Okay, I'll look that up. Thank you, Rachel.
Anything else, Tom?
No, that's it. Thank you.
So, Tom and Verna, last week in finance, and it's Zach, Cynthia, and me, we had on our agenda the continued discussion on prioritizing restoration of service levels. And you can look that up. It's on the 14th of June. And that's really something that we need to have that in front of the whole council here pretty quick. Because that answers a lot of the questions that you had, Tom, because we're talking about the prioritization. And so there's a phase one. I'm just going to refresh your memory that it's the sales tax mitigation, how we were going to use that money. And we're going to use it for things like the contract with the Teamsters and some permitting things. But and that's not all of them. But the second thing was using the ARPA funds and the options for that. And so we had their four priorities with quite a long list underneath them. Well, not quite a long list. One was assistance to households, businesses, and impacts due to COVID-19. And that's where this detail comes under. So this is a detail that we're getting, and you kind of would have been good to have that, like at least for reference, that memo. So you know that this goes under that priority one, assistance to households, businesses, and respond to impacts due to COVID-19. And then there's further detail about assistance to households, businesses, and impacts. And one of the things about the impact was to improve the community access to council meetings by updating the chamber technology. And so at that meeting, we had a detail on that, just like we're having a detail on the business here. So it's like this committee has a little bit more information about business, and then finance had a little bit more information about that particular, the technology. And remember how we talked about that during the retreat? It's like, vet it. So we're vetting here. And then, so those two things were under number one. And then I'll just say what the other three were. The second funding priority was provision of government services impacted by reductions in infrastructure such as traffic calming, capital investments that had to be delayed. Priority number three was investments in infrastructure, broadband specifically, because we had some things going on with that got delayed in order to have citizen access to and business access to broadband. And then the fourth item was one-time investments for long-term financial health. And the Teen and Senior Center came under that one, along with digitizing records and facility planning. So you can just look that one up. I was looking around to find my hard copy of it, and I scrolled it out somewhere, so I'm looking online right now. But so again, this is one of the details when we all get together and find out what we want to talk about, that will be good. And Tom, also, it brought out what we could spend that money on and what we couldn't, which I realized, okay, so we really haven't had a big conversation about that as a council. But definitely there are things that we can spend the money on and things that we can't. So that's all I have to say about that. And I don't have any other comments about the business stuff, except for I appreciate all that backstory. So we'll make a better decision when the time comes. And I like the idea of helping businesses have access to these other resources that were listed in the memo, because I think it's going to be fairly easy for our businesses to access those resources, but a lot of people just don't know they exist. So I like your idea, Derek, about spending our finances on showing people how to access those. And we'll see what happens next. So there you go. Any other comments from my fellow council members?
I think Rachel has her hand up.
Okay, Rachel. Yeah, you do. I'm still getting used to the new format. Thank you. And Rachel.
Thank you. I just wanted to add, you know, we're coming back to finance next month to continue this conversation, because part of the issue is we don't know exactly, the feds haven't come up with all of the rules about how to spend the funds. And so that's why we're sort of doing this slowly, because we need those final rulings. And two, we want to make sure we know exactly how much we're getting so before we get there. So I just wanted you to understand why the timing is the way it is. So we probably won't get to the full council till late July at this point, from what I know right now, just because we need, you know, I don't know if you all were following the saga of the CARES Act, but they kept saying you can use it for this and then you can use it for this. And I think they're trying to be a little more strategic this time and give jurisdictions and better understanding from the jump about what they can use it for. So that's why the timing is extended a little bit than what we would normally do. So just wanted to give you that context. Thank you.
That's great. And that's good for us to know as we are doing our homework on these details of it. So of the different conversations we're going to have. So yeah. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I am going to adjourn this meeting. Is there any objection? All right. I'll see y'all at 7:00. And maybe I'll figure out my